to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what it requires for us to sharpen so that we can be prepared to be able to take care of the business at hand. And in some cases, that's just surviving through the day. But I believe that our Bible reminds us that it's not just about surviving. It's about being able to be a reflection of the greatest thing in our lives. And that's that relationship with Jesus Christ. And in the studio with me today, who brings lots of light with him, and every now and then on occasion, because he's human, we have to add more energy to get that light bulb a little brighter. It's not really a light bulb. It's an LED light.
All right. Now, are we talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the coffee that's sitting on the desk?
No, I'm talking about the coffee. I'm not talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You got that.
Amen. That,
Mib in the house.
Hi, Raul.
Good to see you. Good to have you around.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
How's your day?
Well, it's a little early to tell, but you know what? I woke up and I was breathing and my heart was beating, and God graced me with another day, showed his mercy, because I'll tell you what, I deserve a whole lot less.
Amen. You're not alone with that, that's for sure. Probably just the two of us are the only ones that don't deserve anything else. But anyway, it's been we have a topic today that we're going to be talking about, the joy of the Lord. What is it? How do you get it? How do you keep it? And is there a difference between joy and happiness? Is there, you know, you hear that, joy of the Lord, and there's joy all through the Bible. And sometimes you don't want to read it because you want to, like me. Well, we'll talk about that here in a little while. So, but anyway.
That would be called a teaser.
A teaser, yeah, there you go. That's the only reason a lot of these guys are listening to this, because they want to hear about this sort of thing. So let's quickly get into a little bit of encouragement. Not that you're not going to be encouraged again, but it's kind of like a warm-up for us too, right?
It does kind of work out that way. And, you know, it's kind of funny how often when we share about an encouragement that it just kind of segues right into the show. And I don't know if that's going to happen today or not, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just amazing how God works sometimes. But that's not the encouragement. I have something different. All right. Okay.
You got a new job.
No, I got the same old job.
You're still Mib.
I'm still Mib. I'm still the man in brown.
That's it.
I work for UPS. Drive a big brown truck. All right. Onward.
Onward. Okay.
Okay. I often hear people say the Lord works all things together for my good, or the Lord will work all things together for your good. And what they're talking about is Romans 8:28, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the verse says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the couple things that are missing from this is my good.
What's missing?
Okay. So I'm saying that we have a tendency to add my good and your good. When it says that, you know, what it's talking about is God's purpose.
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm not trying to be discouraging in this, but you know, the good that comes from the all things, it may not be apparent in my life. You know, something the all things that happen, I might not be able to see what the good is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in fact, the good that comes might not even be my good. It might be somebody else's good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way that God has told us to deal with people. He doesn't tell us to go and seek our own good, but he tells us to go and seek the good of others, to treat others in the way that we would want to be treated, to hold other people in higher regard than we hold ourselves. You know, this is the directive of God, and he works with us on this level. And I'll share an experience in this. It was about, 13 or so years ago. My wife and I, we miscarried, and we lost a baby. And, you know, I had no idea, you know, how in the world God's good could come from this, right? Now, first off, I have to remember that loss for me is not a loss for God, okay? He's got another saint in his kingdom, and, you know, someday I will meet this little baby, whether it's a boy or a girl, I don't know. But God used this for his purpose, because in my heart, I already had two kids, and I didn't want a third. That was my heart at the time, okay? And through this happening, through losing this baby, God changed my heart. And when we became pregnant again later on, I had a completely different heart towards it. And now my little girl that I didn't know that I needed, that I didn't know that I had love for, I love her so much. So who is it that is benefiting? Who is it that is experiencing the good of this thing that happened a long time ago that I couldn't see any good in?
Right.
It's my little girl that I love dearly.
Yes.
And I just want to point her towards the cross, right? So with that, you know, the all things that work together for good, it might not even be your good. It's probably the good of somebody else.
Yes, yes. And that's a great reminder, because so often we only see just because ourselves and how it affects us. And yet God has a different perspective. He has a heavenly perspective. And he can see a lot more. It's no different than, think about it. We're down here on the ground. We don't see much, especially if you have no mountains or anything like this. You just see nothing but flat. It's just, right? You get in a helicopter or an airplane, you start to get some elevation, right? Some altitude. Along with attitude, all of a sudden that changes too, because all of a sudden you see, wow, look at all of this. Look at all of this. I mean,
yeah.
It's the same thing. We don't see the big picture. He does. And trusting in him is what we have to do. Anyway.
Amen.
So God bless. You guys have been encouraged. There you go. Nice job, Mib.
All right.
That's the last time I say Mib. I'll say from now on.
You can say Mib. You can say Eric. You can say, hey,
you.
You
can call me.
There are some things you call me and we might be done. You know what I mean? But
okay. All right. So anyway, so let's talk about this thing. Right now, it sounds like we could be happy because we're laughing, and circumstances sometimes have a tendency of creating happiness, right?
That's right. Okay, so I went to the Webster's Dictionary this morning because I was actually concerned with this issue of joy and happiness, because they seem to be so intertwined, but they are, in fact, different. And I have to admit that I was a little bit frustrated with the Webster's definitions, because for the definition of joy, it talked about happiness, and for the definition of happiness, it talked about joy. And I'm like, okay, you're not clearing things up very much. So but when I looked at the definition for joy, number three. Because you know how they have like different definitions for words? Number three struck a chord, because it said, for joy, a source of cause of delight. Now, a source or a cause, you know, that for the Christian is what is within us.
Yes.
And that's Jesus Christ and our sins forgiven. Okay. But happiness is, you know, it says a state of well-being and contentment, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. You know, the happiness that we have is based on the outside circumstances, right?
Exactly.
Okay. But the joy comes from within.
Yes. And that's the joy is with you all the time. It's there. We just have to acknowledge it. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge it because we want to feel the unhappiness sometimes. But that's the thing about happiness, is that it's fleeting. It really is. I mean, you can You can have happiness right now because your team just won. Yeah, but then that eventually goes away. And yeah, it doesn't mean it's completely gone, but that happiness for that moment is going to be, it's fleeting, okay? And that's usually what takes place. You get a brand new anything, you're happy. Get a brand new golf club, you're happy. You know,
until you find out that it didn't fix your slice.
Exactly. That's why it's fleeting, okay? But the joy of the Lord, the joy that actually we receive as a result of having made a decision to have this relationship with Jesus Christ and to acknowledge him not only as your Savior but as your Lord, all of a sudden now there's something within you. See, this joy is part of the, it's the fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, the Spirit enters us, okay? And we now have this, whether we want to acknowledge it or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You look like I'm reading your notes. I'm not reading your notes.
Well, we're thinking along the same lines. Because the joy that we have is a gift. It's something that's given to us.
Yes.
And we have to remember that because we think that it's something that we have to stir up within ourselves.
Yes.
But like you said earlier, it's already there.
Yes.
It's always there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we can lose sight of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
King David.
Yep.
In Psalm 51, after Nathan confronted him
about his
sin with Bathsheba and the fact that, you know, he killed her husband or in fact, you know, put him out on the front line of the battle so that he
mm-hmm.
would die,
yep.
which is basically, he arranged for his murder. David says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." See, because David, because of his sin, he had lost connection with the joy that he had with God, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we see that with other people too, like Elijah. Mm-hmm. The story here is that he had just taken on like 450 priests of Baal,
mm-hmm.
and he caused fire to rain down on them,
mm-hmm.
And then he goes running into the desert, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It's in 1 Kings 19:4, talking about Elijah. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's.'"
Yes.
So here he is. He's just seen a miraculous event of God, but then he's overcome with despair.
Yeah.
And he's losing that, you know, that joy of the Lord. So even the most mature, seasoned Christian comes up against these times where we lose sight of the joy that we have.
Yes, yes. And then what do you do about that sort of thing? Sometimes we think that maybe it wasn't ever real. And really, it is real. And it's something that is there. We just have to acknowledge it. No different than, I don't know about anybody else, but I had to be reminded over and over again that he lives within me because I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. He lives within me. His Spirit is here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, even in the Gospels where Jesus talked about to his apostles and said, "Hey, listen, I am leaving, but I'm going to leave you a comforter, right? I'm going to have someone that's going to help guide you, to remind you, a comforter who's going to say, 'Hey, I'm here. I'm going to take care of things. I got it under control.'" That's what a comforter does. Hey, no, it'll be okay, right? But very often, I didn't go there. I didn't go there for that comfort. I tried to fix things myself. I tried myself, and try to work on keeping everything in order. And I wasn't doing a very good job of letting go and allowing God to mm-hmm. be displayed in my action and everything that I was doing. But I learned quickly. I did, because I didn't like the pain. I didn't like that feeling of not feeling like I did before. You know where it talks about that Jesus reminds us in Revelation, right? "I hold this against you that you have forgotten your first love," right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our love for him, okay? And That's so true, because that's exactly what ends up taking place. I forget about how I felt at that time when I surrendered completely because of who I was and said, Lord, take me, all of me, you know, create me a clean heart, okay? I didn't say that because I didn't know anything about that verse at the time, but that's really what I was saying. Change me, use me, you know, do with me as you will, right?
You're right. So it really is all about Jesus. You know, the fact that he is, you know, within us and that we are in Christ. And the joy that we have, you know, it's a gift from God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's God who's doing the filling with the joy and the peace, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I mean, we can go right back to what you were saying about, you know, the Holy Spirit being in you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the comforter that we have, you know, this is, you know, it's something that has been given to us. And now that it's always there, you know, we have to realize that when we are not aware of that joy being there, it's because, like you said, we have forgotten it, or there may be something that is getting in the way of it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things that can do that is, you know, when we have those secret sins or those sins that we will not repent of.
Yes.
Right? Because what that does is it puts up that, like, it's like a brick wall. It's like I'm erecting a wall between me and God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's causing that separation where I can't really come into that that communion with him, that perfect communion with him, because I'm not I'm in a place where I'm saying I'm not going to give you everything.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You can have this and you can have that, but this little thing that I've got going on the side and that I'm keeping secret.
Even from you, God.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this, you know. And I'll just say, in my own life, I have a whole lot of experience with not experiencing the joy of my salvation, with not experiencing that joy and knowing its presence. Where, because you know, for a long time, I had the secret sin of pornography.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I hesitate to use the word addiction, because we use the word it is an addiction, but we often use the word addiction in place of sin, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was in the unrepentant sin of pornography, and that sin that I had and was keeping secret and was keeping to myself and was not surrendering to God, it was keeping me from experiencing and knowing the joy of my salvation.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because it was like that block.
So this joy, I want to talk about this a little bit more. What does it look like? What does it look like in our lives when we see it in others? Is it somebody who's always just smiling all the time and going from there? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, and we're going to continue talking about this being filled with the joy of the Lord. Is it our joy or is it his joy? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern, or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle, high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
And it seems like no one in this whole world cares. And you want to get away from the madness. You just call my name and I'll be there.
Welcome back to Banner Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul in the studio, and we're talking about the joy of the Lord. We're talking about joy, how often, you know, someone will come up and they'll, you know when you have a smile going and everything seems to be going right in your life, you know, you kind of exhibit that to other people. They see that, and that is welcoming to some people, and it's not, it doesn't inhibit your relationship with other people, it actually enhances it to where they actually desire to be around you. And or say, he's safe, I can walk by him, I don't have to, you know, or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless it's got a creepy look to it, right? A creepy smile and the look of the eyes. And that could be, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. But yeah. We're talking about where you've got this radiance or about you that others are attracted to or attracted to.
Yeah, well, I was going to compare it to magnetism.
Magnetism.
Yes, you know.
A magnet, yes.
Magnets. Well, joy is kind of magnetic towards other people. It makes people want to, you know, come near you mm-hmm. because they want what you've got, you know. But what is it that we've got? What we've got is Jesus.
Yes.
You know. So once again, it all comes right back to Jesus. But now is the joy that we have is that, you know, is it all about, you know, flashing the pearly white smile all the time and you know, or yeah. faking joy, or, you know, can we experience joy in tough times?
Well, you said something there about faking joy. So often I used to do that. I mean, all the time. It's because of my work, okay, I had to be able to set aside and try to set things aside that were challenging in my life to be pleasant and willing to be grateful and act grateful, and that what they need is more important than what I've got going. And so, you know, you got to set that aside. And we all do that to a certain degree, right?
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what
right.
it is.
Right, and that would come from my desire to be a people pleaser.
Well, you hit that right on the head. And that's exactly what it was. But that can become such, oh boy, that could be, that's just a lot of work to try to do that all the time and to be that way. And all that does is discourage. Because, you know, at the very end, when you're finishing that situation, and there's nobody else around, you're going to end up feeling like Eeyore, you know, just, whatever. And it's like, why in the world do I feel like this, you know? And I think back at the time, and this is experiences I had before coming to the Lord. Now, does that mean I feel like that as a believer? Yeah, at times, because I've learned, I've come to mature and believe and trust in what the Word of God says,
mm-hmm.
that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will always be there. Yes, the answer is Jesus, but I need to be able to be reminded at times. And yeah, we get reminded sometimes. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes whether you have a plaque or a picture or a bumper sticker or something that just reminds you of that relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't it just seem to come at the right time, or you notice it at the right time? It's when you really need it, mm-hmm. right? All of a sudden, oh, yes. Okay, that's right. He does love me. He isn't going to leave me nor forsake me.
Right. We need those reminders of who God is and what He has done for us and His incredible love for us and the beauty of His creation. Just yesterday, I was taking a short break, sitting in the brown truck, and I was thinking about how the fact that you know, every once in a while, I still doubt, like, you know, I'll say I sure hope it's all true, and then I'll look out and I'll see all the trees, and I think, you know,
yes,
God, I know you made these trees, you know, you know, if it's nighttime, you know, the stars, God, I know you placed all those stars in the heaven. I mean, I know mm-hmm. that this is true. And it reminds me of that God is who He says He is, you know, and then He made this little squirrel run out across the road. And normally I don't really like squirrels because I kind of think that they're tree rats, but He was, you know, but it was actually, you know, kind of cute just hopping across the road. And I think, God, you made that squirrel. You know, He's got like these four legs, and they all work to make him prance across the road at the same time. And it's, I mean, it's just it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and so we can find, you know, the joy of the Lord in even some of the most simple things. You know, really.
I understand, but, you know, my head being a little boy inside, sit there and said, until he got hit by the car. I run over and smashed.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
You,
see, I just,
you would
I
have
know.
To bring yes, roadkill
I,
into
I
this.
Well, so often we end up, and that's just the way we are sometimes. I mean, even by ourselves, we sit there, all of a sudden you have a happy moment, and yet you're sitting there going, oh, now you're thinking of something negative. Or like, how come someone's not here to watch this with me? You know, maybe God just put it in your life just so that you would experience it, you know, and not for anybody else, but for you and him. Okay. John 15. I want to just read something here real quick here. I'm going to read verse 9 here, 9, 10, and 11 here. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. This is Jesus speaking. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So the joy of the Lord, he's letting us know what we have inside here is his. This is his joy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that now my joy and everything else would be complete, because knowing ultimately that no matter what, that joy is not going to leave you. It's there. All we have to do is acknowledge it. And how do we acknowledge it? Well, by acknowledging the Lord in our lives, by being grateful for the things that he actually has given us. We may not have everything that we desire or want, you know. You know, the verse says, hey, I will, oh, what is it? I will give you the desires of, I just want, I will give you the desires of my heart.
Psalm 37.
Yeah, I know. I just
the producer is telling us.
I know. She's over there looking at me. And she's trying to, and I can't see her because of the reflection, so I don't see it. Now, she's, delight yourself in the Lord.
There you go.
And he will give you the desires of your heart. And thanks, producer.
She is like a walking Bible.
She is. And yet, you know, these are things that are so, you know, because we think my heart, if I get everything that I want, I'm going to be very happy. But that's true, because that'll be fleeting. But truly, the desires of our heart, if we've given our heart to him and allow him to change it, mm-hmm. all of a sudden we're going to receive things and we're going to sit there and go, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, and what you just read, it talks about abiding
yes.
in the love of Christ.
Right.
And abiding is remaining in the love of Christ. And those who remain in the love of Christ, well, what does that draw us to?
Mm-hmm.
That draws us to keeping his commandments, it
yes.
says there
yes.
in that passage.
Right.
You know, it... And we can throw in the word obedience here,
mm-hmm.
But I also want to be careful when I use the word obedience, because there are a lot of Christians who think that that obedience mm-hmm. is the goal.
Yes.
But
yes.
Jesus Christ is the goal,
mm-hmm.
and when Jesus Christ is the goal, when we abide in him, then you know that obedience becomes the natural result.
Yes.
Now, imperfect obedience. Because, you know, we are imperfect people, and
yes.
everything that is Eric is tainted by sin.
Yes.
You know, so there's never going to be this side of the grave anything that is perfect. And even my obeying the commandments and being obedient to Christ, while I press on towards the goal for the prize, which is Jesus Christ,
yeah.
I know that I am going to fall short the yes. side of the grave.
Well, so often I wonder, and I know that for myself, it's easy enough for me to desire to be happy. But if I take a look at that, that's where I end up setting myself up for discouragement. You know, I put an expectation on. Eric, I invite you over to my home so I can actually be able to say something to you and then see if you'll receive it and if you'll be excited about that sort of thing, and all these expectations I have on it. And then when I share it with you, whatever it may be, it's like you're not as enthused, you're not as the way that I had expected you to react from that, and all of a sudden it's kind of like disappointing. Okay, and then I'm not as happy as I thought I would be. I'm not happy at all. As a matter of fact, now I am discouraged, right? So that's when we set things up ourselves, you know.
Well, and that's seeking happiness.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's where I wanted to be able to get across, that there is a difference here, you know. The happiness is, again, that's going to be fleeting, because even if you had reacted differently in what I said to you, you're going to leave the house and you're going to go back home about your day, and I'm going to go back to my day, and all of a sudden that moment in time of being excited about that and fleeting, or you know, about it, is going to be gone. Okay, I may remember it and then kind of sit there, oh yeah, I remember, look at that. I remember him making him happy, and so I should have taken a picture at the time or whatever, but my point being is that those are the things that are not lasting. But the thing that is lasting is this joy of the Lord. So let's take a final break here. We'll come back. Let's talk about more of this joy. I know you've got something to say about that. You're just going to hit a home run on this one.
Yeah. We got a direction to go here. So stick with us. Come back and hear what it is that the direction that we're going to go, because you're going to want to hear this.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
They heard you say what you just said, so you might as well just go and say it.
Oh, I was just saying where Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them.
Yes, yes.
But that was on a different subject.
Well, it's not really, because a lot of times we end up in relational challenges that end up getting us to that place where I don't want to feel joy toward this person. I don't want to look to them as Jesus looks at them. I don't want to try to love them like Jesus says, love even your
enemies.
Right,
because this person is the source of our trial, right?
But then again, in the book of James, it says, let me just pull it up here. James chapter 1.
That must be a heavy Bible. I mean, you're grunting a lot. It's Royal has this super large print Bible. It weighs about 15 pounds.
Remember, you're part of the 12 tribes among the nations, okay? So verse 2, he says, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance, and then it goes on from there into character and hope and etc. Okay? But consider it pure joy, James says, when you face trials of many kinds.
Yeah,
I didn't want to have to hear that.
I don't like that verse. You got a Sharpie? You got a Sharpie handy?
Careful if you're going to do not change or add anything to that.
I say that in jest. Because,
I know that.
Yeah, but I got to make sure that everybody knows that, because we do not take the Sharpie of the Bible, because all of it is effective.
You take the highlighter to it and you highlight it, saying, I need to remember this over and over and over again. Consider it pure joy. You know, and every translation, it says a little bit differently, but it's the same thing. This is a good thing when you're facing trials. What's a trial? Those are all those things you don't want in your life, okay? It's a trial. What's that mean? You're being tested. What's being tested? Well, my faith is being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And why is my faith being tested? Well, because the Lord is allowing it to take place. He wants to know whether you're on, if you're on or you're off.
You know, I would change that a little bit. He already knows whether you're on or you're off.
Right.
He wants you to know.
Yes, and he actually is truly, it's back to this sharpening, it's refining, okay,
mm-hmm.
maturing us in the walk, okay? And really what it comes down to is that we, you know, we this is necessary. Just like discipline is necessary, right?
Yeah.
That's another place of area of our lives where we sit there and go, I think the Lord is upset with me. Well, he may not be upset. He's one, like, if you have a child, you discipline them, you know. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily a physical discipline. It could be any other discipline, a discipline that takes something away from them so that they would be aware of what they had done and how they could correct it next time. That's really what it comes down to, a discipline. So the Lord wants us to do the same thing. All right, I'm allowing this to take place in your life for this reason. Because you're missing the boat, Raul. And it's kind of like that movie Groundhog Day. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over again until I get it right. I'm not going to go to the next space or level or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah. Well, and I want to backpedal just a little bit.
Okay.
Because because we're talking about, you know, the trials and the how it develops perseverance in us. And I'll tell you, these trials that we have, you know, they can really stir up in us, you know, the anxieties of life.
Yes.
Right? And God wants us to bring those things directly to him. And I think this really fits in with what Paul was writing in Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Ooh.
And so we can actually take all of these trials that we're going through and all the anxiety that it builds up in us, and we can take this directly mm-hmm. to the foot of the cross
and
lay it there. And in that, we have the joy of the Lord. You know, we rejoice in the fact that we can actually come into the Holy of Holies by the mm-hmm. blood of Jesus. We can mm-hmm. come directly to the throne of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What a joyous thing that is. That's not something, that's not a fleeting thing that comes from without. This is a permanent thing that is already accomplished by the blood of Jesus. We can come directly. I get a little bit excited and I start talking faster.
I've never noticed that.
We can come directly. I'll try and slow it down. We can come directly to the throne of God.
Yes.
By the blood of Jesus and bring all of these concerns to him. And there is joy found in the communion of God with God in prayer.
Yes.
You know, he has established it to be so.
You know, it's funny the how often we can actually not see certain things that were our promises that are meant for us. See, when we read the Bible sometimes, and I should just say when I've read the Bible in the past, I've actually missed the promises. I've missed the things that it says that I will have as a result of this relationship with Jesus Christ and in trusting in him in everything that is taking place in my life. Now, you may sound like I used to sound when I'm saying that's kind of like being a perfectionist or trying to be legalistic because nobody can do that. Well, that's probably true. But the fact is I need to have this goal. It tells me that I need to keep my eyes focused on Jesus, right? And mm-hmm. in some cases, not to, in some cases, dealing with things as he chooses you to deal with. But then letting them go and keep your eyes focused on the Lord because he has something in store for us to be accomplishing for him, not for us, but for him. Why him? Because he's the one who created us. He's given us life today, but not just life on this earth, eternal life,
mm-hmm.
life with him and for all of those that we come to know and experience and they come to know Jesus because of what others have heard, what they've heard from about Jesus from other people, or maybe even from us, we get to see them and have a relationship with them for eternity. So it's not over with. This is only the beginning of our eternity. It happens to be on this trial earth, right? Yep. To be able to see what's going to take place in the times to come.
And I find it interesting that here we are back to his purpose.
Yes.
You know, remember what I said at the beginning when I was giving the encouragement from Romans 8:28 that
yes.
sometimes these things, they come full circle, and what we talk about at the beginning, it becomes part of what we were talking about, you know, in the topic. And it really is about his purpose. And like you said, his purpose is, you know, in helping others, you know, I'm trying to get this thought out.
You're trying to get this thought out, but, well, that's all right. Hang on to that thought. It's a little incomplete.
I need to formulate. Go ahead.
And it's coming. But here's out of 1 Peter. We read this because we're on Thursday night on our Bible study, we're in 1 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So God is letting us know that, hey, you're an inheritor. You're going to inherit this salvation for eternity. You're going to inherit mm-hmm. something that you can't work for necessarily. It's by grace that you're given this because of the decision that you made to follow Jesus. And Jesus is going to make sure that you're secure and protected until that time comes, because that inheritance is protected. It's yours. Your name is in the book.
That's right. Eternal life does not begin when you die.
So what's important is that we're able to share this excitement and, believe it or not, joy of the Lord within mm-hmm. us with others. And in showing and talking about that with others, be it your family, your wife, your children, whomever it is that you influence in your life, in doing so, you never know who the Holy Spirit is going to touch as a result of you sharing what is going on. So we have, and the New Testament is filled with promises all over the place. Right through the Gospels and all the letters and every, including in Revelation, it talks about. Check out the new heaven in chapter 21 of Revelation, and tell me if that doesn't kind of get you a little excited. Man, I can hardly wait to experience that, not just myself, but with others that I know.
What does that look like? A city adorned as a bride?
Yeah,
I don't know, but it's got to be good.
Yeah. Yes, it's got to be good.
Yeah.
But
you mentioned grace, and I think that that's so important in the understanding of joy, because it was by grace that we are saved through faith, and we have the forgiveness of Christ
yes.
for the things that we have done.
Yes.
Without that forgiveness, there can be no joy.
Mm-hmm.
Without that forgiveness, you know, we are still in our sins. We are still
separated from God.
We're still separated from God.
Yep.
So know this, that if you are in Christ, you are forgiven for all that you have done. It's mm-hmm. not that God is taking rocks out of your bag that you've been putting in your bag. He's taken the bag away.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We don't even have to carry that burden. Every sin that we have done is covered by the blood of Jesus. And
Amen.
Every sin that we will do is covered by the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he has allowed us to come to him in confession, to confess our sins.
Yes.
You know, he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's because of the work that Christ has done, that forgiving, it takes the weight off. With the weight, with the burden of sin, there isn't any joy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take that burden away, then, God doesn't leave us. When God takes something away, he doesn't leave us with nothing.
Yes.
All right. He gives us something else. And we can go right back to, you know, Ephesians when he talks about, you know, giving us the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He gives us all of these things when he takes away our sin. And I think that's a pretty good trade. You know, that is the only reason that we can experience the joy of Christ is because of the grace of God that we have. And, you know, and when we lose sight of that, when we forget about that, that's when, you know, we can start to, even the mature Christian can lose sight of that. And we start to think that, you know, where is that joy? Yes. But just like David, we can pray, restore unto me the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
And renew a right spirit within me. It's there. It's available. He hasn't taken it away.
Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Nice job.
Good
nice topic. Job. We'll have to continue on another one like this. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
All right. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the finished work of Jesus on the cross, by which we can stand in your throne room, by which we can bring to you all of our anxieties, our prayers, our thanksgiving, Father. We can lay them all at your feet. And Father, thank you for forgiving us so that we can truly experience the fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us all these things so that our joy might be full in you. We love you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.